This is the Podium Finish Live from Austin, Texas, and various points across the country. Here's your host, Rob Tiansen.
And a good day to everyone out there listening to us. Welcome to episode 109 of TPF Live. I'm your host, Rob Tiansen, joined by my co-hosts, Brooklyn Jackson and Sky Twig. We're so happy that you can be joining us for our post-Bristol pre-COTA edition, COTA as in Circuit of the Americas, and Bristol being the most craziest short track race anyone's ever witnessed in at least the last 76 years of NASCAR's history. Am I exaggerating? No, I'm not. Because if you can recall a Bristol race that has 54 lead changes among 16 different drivers, bless your heart, because that's what we saw on Sunday afternoon from East Tennessee. And then what we're going to see in Circuit of the Americas could be just as crazy, because the weather is bound to be extremely windy on Sunday afternoon. If I happen to be flying away from the state of Texas, you'll know why. But anyways, I hope I actually don't fly in the air. Unless I'm Harry Styles in the music video to Sign of the Times, which would be pretty epic, I'll say. Anyways, now that we've got the hilarious start of our show underway, Nathan Solomon is off this week because he has gotten back to his campus in St. Bonaventure, where unfortunately our Bonnies lost in the tournament. And they'd even make the tournament for March Madness. Nevertheless, they even didn't even accept the offer, if there was any, to the NIT. So, oy vey. But don't worry, we're still going to talk about racing, nevertheless. So Nathan should be back at some point down the road. Don't you worry, Solomaniacs, he is still around. Yes, there are probably fans of his that call themselves Solomaniacs. I'm here with the ladies of TPS, so that's pretty cool, I'll say that much. Anyways, let's go bring in the ladies right now with Brooklyn and Sky. And how are y'all doing this evening?
I'm good.
Yeah, I'm feeling great. I'm ready to get another episode rolling.
And I'm excited to have my first on-site race weekend of the year with possibly the most stacked field for every single race this weekend. All three are can't-miss races. Not that none of these races are missed TV. If you do, shame on you, but unless you're working. But anyways, we're going to have a fun time in Del Valle, Texas, not Austin, Texas. So if anyone tells you the race is in Austin, Texas, send them my way and I'll correct them for you. But anyways, on our edition of our show, we have Zane Smith joining us in the hot seat. And in fact, this interview is so hot, it was literally recorded today. And he's the driver, of course, of the number 71 Focus Health Chevrolet Camaro ZL1, fielded by Spire Motorsports. So we'll hear from him really shortly after Putting Perspectives, which is, of course, powered by SpoilerDiecast.com. But for the meantime, why don't we hear from our sponsors, SpoilerDiecast.com, as to why you should be shopping there right now. Hey there, racing fans. Are you on the lookout for the latest NASCAR, IndyCar, or F1 diecasts in the market? Well, look no further than SpoilerDiecast.com for the latest and greatest and fastest shipping in the industry. And did you know, if you use code TPF on orders of $20 or more, you'll get free shipping and 5% off of your orders. And that's really easy money to save. So head on over to SpoilerDiecast.com and use code TPF to get 5% off of your orders of $20 or more. And if you happen to be in the area in Fort Wayne, Indiana, Spoiler Diecast is now open for business at their storefront location at 6004 Highview Drive, Suite E in Fort Wayne, Indiana. That's 6004 Highview Drive, Suite E, Fort Wayne, Indiana. SpoilerDiecast.com for the latest and greatest in diecast collectibles. We'll see you in the fast lane. That's right, folks. If you use that promo code TPF, you'll save 5% off of your orders of $20 or more, whether it's in stock or pre-order items. And we are heading into the season so that you know those 2024 cars are arriving pretty quickly from China to here in the U.S. So get your orders in, and Evan and his team will get to work on getting those items shipped ASAP, probably as fast as a 4-tire pit stop today in the NASCAR Cup Series. And by the way, later this year, yes, indeed, Ford folks, you'll see your Ford Mustang Dark Horse arriving in the country in those new tool bodies from Lionel Racing. And speaking of Lionel Racing, before we get into Podium Perspectives, I hope you will go ahead and check out my official YouTube channel. So we have a diecast talk video in which I reviewed Kyle Larson's 2024 Coke 600 paint schemes in 124 and 164 scale. So thank you to our friends in Lionel Racing. They're going to be doing this with me throughout the year. So there'll be more. Don't you worry, folks. There'll be Toyotas. There'll be Fords. There'll be a little bit of everything. So it's going to be a lot of fun, to say the least. And I'm really looking forward to the Ford Mustang Dark Horse, because that's going to be a pretty bad to the bone car. I'm not going to say bad leap car, because this is a family show. Anyways, let's get ready to talk racing now on Podium Perspectives, powered by SpoilerDiecast.com. Is there any other adjective to use for this past Sunday's Food City 500 other than it being wild and wild and wild? I don't think so. I mean, again, 54 lead changes among 16 different drivers, 9 cautions for 98 laps. Thank God it wasn't 1997 with 20 caution periods. Oh, and by the way, the big thing that a lot of people are talking about besides the crazy lead changes, tire degradation or tire wear. Because if you had 4 tires, like Chris Buescher's video on Instagram, you were feeling like Super Mario Kart when you got the 4, you know, the Superman star, and you're just gliding through the racetrack, making everyone look silly. And he did look everyone look silly, because in the final several laps, he climbed from 34th to 7th. That's a pretty awesome job by him. And also Kyle Larson was like 32nd and 3 laps or 2 laps down towards the end of the race because of a pit penalty that happened with, I believe, 102 laps to go. And somehow he was able to make his way to finish up to 5th place and still running as fast as a certain driver named Denny Hamlin, who was really fast on the racetrack. Maybe not the best with the sword. If you don't know what I'm talking about, he cut his finger in victory lane with the sword. So if he has a bandage in Coda, I will confirm what's going on with that. But we have a photo of him in victory lane with a bloodied thumb. Ouch. Any event, one thing that wasn't hurting was the fact that his express oil change Toyota Camry XSE was just too much to handle, even on the day when everybody had a chance to lead. It was like Oprah saying, you get the lead, you get the lead, no, you get the lead. And then ultimately, Hamlin won by 1.083 seconds over Martin Truex Jr. And it was almost a 1-2-3 Joe Gibbs sweep until Christopher Bell went a lap down, finished 10th, and Ty Gibbs also went a lap down. Probably the second best car, and got 9th in his Series XM Toyota. So we'll hear from Sky first and then Brooklyn. I want to get y'all's opinions on Denny Hamlin's victory and what your thoughts were on the tire wear, tire degradation situation we saw on Sunday that brought a lot of opinions from the drivers.
I mean, overall, I really enjoyed the race. At first, I was a little concerned with the tire wear. I've seen the way that these Cup Series drivers drive sometimes, and I was really hoping, I was like, I don't want it to be this wreckfest, long race, yellow after yellow, which I'm glad it wasn't. The veterans really showed up. I mean, the top three, Truex, or Denny Hamlin, Martin Truex Jr., and Brad Keselowski, they've been in the series for how long? So it's nice to see that they knew what they were doing. They got a really good finish. It was weird to see only 5 cars on the lead lap. I also thought that was just like, I guess wild is the word that we're using. But overall, I mean, good for Denny Hamlin. You know, he really put the work in. He really held Martin Truex Jr. off, so he deserved the win. It's tough about him cutting himself. He talked about that on his podcast, too. So that is pretty tough. You got to get a little better at handling the sword there.
I definitely think he already hopes he is able to get another sword and redeem himself from that. But Bristol always finds a way to, I mean, Bristol's always a chippy race, right? But this was, I mean, there seriously is no other word than wild and chippy. And I mean, I don't know, but I was also concerned about the tire wear. I mean, just initially, but I started to, my anxiety level went down a little bit about that once they got the extra set, once NASCAR gave everyone the extra set of tires. That helped with at least my anxiety a little bit. I can't speak to any of the crew chiefs about that. But I mean, it was just a good all-around race with the lead changes, obviously, and the extra tire wear drama added in. Yeah.
The tire situation really did remind me of a race from the 1990s, which I think a lot of the younger drivers may have been taken aback from, because a lot of them are just used to going full out 100% every lap. And the fact that drivers like Ty Gibbs and Kyle Larson, who do know how to do tire management, had to go like 70% throttle. And I never thought I'd see the day that Cup drivers were going 17 seconds around Bristol. That told me that, they had to really tippy toe their way around Bristol. And it's not like the concrete was abrasive, but there's a lot of answers, a lot of questions that Goodyear and NASCAR are probably going to have to answer before the September race, because you don't want to. I was glad we didn't have the typical new Bristol race where everybody eventually works their way up to the top of the wall and rim rides it. I thought it was pretty interesting to see, Superman, like Super Mario, Superman style tires going on. That was so cool. And the one driver I think really got lambasted was Kyle Larson, and he had to clarify himself on Monday, or actually Tuesday rather. He said, maybe I didn't do a good job of explaining myself, because I did have a blast. It was a lot of fun. I think it was just a little too extreme in the tire wear. I think we all want that tire wear, but I would have loved to have seen the rubber get laid into the surface as well, so we could move around a little bit more, get up the racetrack a little bit more. But overall, you can't deny that it was a fantastic race. And even Alex Bowman got blasted as well. And that's silly, because I think he was also pretty elated about it. He even said as much. He said, he was saying it was basically a throwback to what he was used to doing back in the days of his late models and ARCA days. So I didn't know where fans were getting the impression that the Hendrick drivers or any drivers were really unhappy about it. And especially, like you said, Brooklyn, once they got that extra set of tires, which kudos to Goodyear for doing that with NASCAR. I was glad to see that, because otherwise we would have had Brickyard 400 nightmares from 2008 at a beloved racetrack. So I don't know if any of y'all remember that one, but that was ooh boy, that's a dark day in NASCAR history, which I'm glad we avoided that. And honestly, if people were on the fence of going to Bristol, I hope they attend the night race in September, because if that was a prelude to what we'll see in the playoffs, oh my goodness, you folks better go to East Tennessee. You better go online, call at the ticket box office, get your seats now. I'm telling you, that is going to be a fantastic draw this September on a pretty warm night, I imagine. So, oh my gosh. And Denny Hamlin, I think he had the quote of the race. You pretty much know Denny Hamlin is gonna toot his own horn. And he said, I knew I had such a huge role in the result. If the car was not good, I wasn't going to win. But I feel like I played a huge factor in the result. Gee, Danny, I guess you're not going to be humble, Hamlin, are you? Guess not. That's okay. I guess you have to have characters in NASCAR. He's certainly a character, but he's a character with 52 NASCAR Cup Series victories in his career. So, like him or not, he is one of the best drivers around. Oh, I know. And on the other hand, I know for Team Penske, what a struggle bus Bristol was. And I can just see Sky in our studio just giving us the look like, oh, don't even talk about it. I'll just have to briefly highlight, and then I'll capitulate to the next topic. I mean, Ryan Blaney had a really good car, unfortunately finished 16th. Austin Cindric, more of the same struggles, which he did address in a video availability on Wednesday. He doesn't seem too worried, but he's more like, hey, people, don't forget, I actually had a pretty hot start to the year. It just so happens that I've been struggling lately, so don't get down on me. I'll have another chance to get better. And then, of course, the unusual tale of Joey Logano. My goodness. Finished third in stage two, and then I don't know what happened after that. He still got 23 decent stage po racing points, but at some point, Paul Wolf and Logano are going to have to figure this out. It's not too late. It's a little too early to hit the panic button, but this is a unusual situation to see with the number 22 team. But they are two-time cup champions, and we'll see them get out of this eventually, sooner or later. Because one driver who certainly broke out of his funk, or Ricky Funk, SNL reference, recently was Christian Eckes on Saturday night's race, the WeatherGuard Truck Race at Bristol, which, by the way, That was a really good truck race, I will say, on Saturday night, because Ekis didn't just luck into this victory. He had to battle one of the best drivers in NASCAR history in Kyle Busch. And even if Kyle may have not had the pace, nobody wants to see Kyle Busch right behind them in their rearview mirror in the final laps of a race at Bristol. But somehow, some way, as Busch was closing in, Ekis had enough truck to go and beat Kyle Busch 0.141 seconds. Pretty much, that's like trying to, like, you know, hear my dog in the background and count one second she's going to bark. I'm sorry, folks, that she's barking. But anyways, Christian Ekis won his first race of the year, and I think a couple of people, namely me and Caitlin Vincey, said that he would be the guy to beat for this year's truck championship. I think Caitlin and I can plan that vacation to Atlantic City or Las Vegas at some point. But anyways, while he won, oh boy, Nick Sanchez and Stuart Friesen, my goodness, they were trying to battle for a position in the top 10 off of turn four. In my opinion, I thought Sanchez had the preferred groove, had the line, and I don't think Friesen saw him. And then after the race, Friesen got in his face, kind of like what Matt Crafton did. Thankfully, this time there were no fisticuffs thrown. Well, there were, but none landed, like Neil Armstrong on the moon in 1969. So we'll start off with Brooklyn and then hear from Sky. First of all, how big was Christian Ekis' victory on Saturday night? And what were your thoughts about what happened between Sanchez and Friesen?
Ekis, that put together an amazing race. Like you, I fully expect him to have an amazing season. I don't think this will be his last trip to victory lane this season by any means. But kind of more surprising on my end was the Sanchez and Friesen scuffle, because I agree with you. From what I saw in my just understanding, I don't think Friesen saw Sanchez. But watching the video of it afterwards, you know, there you can kind of hear, you kind of can. It's a noisy audio, right? But so they're having like a good discussion, you know, like they're both a little tempered, obviously, but still a good discussion. None of them are like heated or anything. But then all of a sudden, Friesen just picks Sanchez up. And I'm like, what the heck? Like, that escalated so quickly from what I was able to like hear and see. I was like, oh my goodness. Like, we go from this like good constructive conversation / teachable moment, you know, like just airing all our grievances, and then you just pick him up, like, good heavens.
So yeah, I mean, I agree with what you pretty much both said. It was a good race, like you said. It wasn't a blowout race. I mean, there was a handful of trucks that were really fast. I mean, Crafton was up in the top three, top five. You had, you know, Ekis, Kyle Busch, Zane Smith. They were all doing really well up there. So it is really cool. I'm sure it's very cool to beat Kyle Busch, just like you were saying, Rob. I mean, to be able to say, oh, yeah, like, I beat Kyle Busch, like, I don't know. That in and of itself is awesome. But, yeah, Beck, I mean, I honestly, from what I'm getting from the whole Friesen and Sanchez thing, is I just feel like it was just a battle of the egos. You have, you know, a younger kid who thinks, you know, and I'm on his side. I mean, he had the line. I just think, you know, Friesen was just thought he was the only one on the racetrack, you know. But, then you have someone who's been in it for a while, who's a little bit older, who they have an ego and, you know, they think that they're right. And then you have this young person. I mean, Sanchez was smiling the whole time. Like, he had this smirk on his face. And I was just thinking, like, you don't want to do that. Like, you don't want to get on the guys that have been around for, you don't want to get on their bad side, you know? But, you know, sometimes it is what it is, and drivers do what they're going to do. But I don't know. I thought it definitely, like you said, escalated very quickly.
And that's one thing I respect the heck out of Nick Sanchez for. He can be in the most, like, deepest debate with anybody and be smirking. He's so much braver than I am. I mean, not that, I don't know. He just handles it so well and in such a good, calm way. I mean, he said his piece. He said what he, like you said, Sky, he was in, it was his lane. He didn't do anything wrong. I don't, in my mind. And I mean, he was saying his side, and then Friesen just also had his ego, and goodness gracious.
It was a battle between the generations, I almost feel like, because now this is two drivers that Nick Sanchez has had some run-ins with, because last year it was Matt Crafton, who is a little bit of an older driver, actually quite a bit older than Stuart Friesen, because Matt Crafton's been around so long, I feel like he's been around almost as long as the Truck Series has existed at this point. And Stuart Friesen has been sort of this dirt track racer who finally found his way to NASCAR truck racing, you know, feels like he paid his dues. Not that Nick Sanchez hasn't. He's a young driver. He's a champion too in ARCA. So he knows how to get things done. Both of y'all said, battle egos. I don't know if I'd be smiling at someone or smirking when I'm trying to have a discourse with somebody. In fact, when I'm trying to have a discourse, I'm the opposite of smiling. I'm probably looking like I should be smiling. So it'll be curious to see what happens, not between those two drivers, but just to see what does Nick Sanchez learn from this situation. Hopefully I get the chance to find out this weekend if we hear back from his camp, because not that I'm going to be like, hey, Nick, by the way, congratulations on your season so far. By the way, why were you smirking at Stuart Friesen? No, I'm not gonna approach him that way, but I think it's more of a defense mechanism, if you ask me. Sometimes I've noticed people kind of like laughing nervously or looking at me nervously when I'm like dropping the hammer on things. So
right, I would imagine that's just his personality.
Yeah, I mean, I'll give him the benefit of the doubt in this case here. But now if there's a third incident, then he's a common denominator. That's what kind of reminds me of what Richard Childress said to Kevin Harvick when Harvick was having his run-ins during his first few years of his Cup career. And he eventually pulled Kevin aside after he got suspended at Martinsville for intentionally wrecking somebody. I think it was Brian Rose or some obscure truck driver. And Harvick's obviously had a great career since. But Richard Childress said, you're the common denominator. Think about it, Kevin. This incident, this incident, this incident. Who was involved? You were. Either you're going to have to do something to change, or the situation doesn't change and you'll be out eventually. I don't think they're going to do it with the number with Nick Sanchez, but it's too bad because he had a really good truck. He finished third in stage one, second in stage two, probably could have won the race. And instead, he comes home with a 17th place finish. But hey, he's got the Expel 225 to look forward to at COTA. And you never know just how fast he'll be this season, because he's got KBM equipment still technically. It's just badged as Spire Motorsports, so he could be good. And he'll have a tough teammate to contend with this weekend in the form of Connor Zillisch, but we'll talk about that in a little bit. Now, I do want to ask both of you before we get to our next, you know, the whole superlatives topics that we've been doing lately. Both of you being younger than me, I feel like this is going to be a fun topic for y'all to talk about, where NASCAR has found itself in a great position with new eyes on the sport. And I think one of those things that has catalyzed NASCAR's popularity, or the eyes and the attention that we've had so far this year, has been the Full Speed documentary. Almost that's Drive to Survive, because it's basically what it's been like for us. F1 experiences resurgence in popularity because of that Netflix documentary. And during the off season going into Daytona, boom, we got Full Speed. Amazing docuseries, only 5 episodes, but have you noticed, y'all, TV ratings have been going up every single weekend. There's been engagement on social media. There's been more people wanting to know. In fact, this weekend's dignitaries, they're from like a TV show. I mean, I don't know the show, but it's a popular horror show. We wouldn't get those kinds of people if we weren't doing a good job with our sport. So I'm kind of curious, we'll hear from Sky and then Brooklyn. What can NASCAR do to keep it going, to bring in new eyes into the sport, whether it's young folks or just people who are finally coming across NASCAR and saying, goodness gracious, why haven't I tuned in before or gone to a race?
So I don't want to put the full blame on NASCAR. I feel like a lot of it comes kind of to the drivers. You know, back in the day, think about all the commercials you would see with like every single like popular NASCAR, every NASCAR driver, you know. And it's like nowadays you don't get that anymore. Like, you don't see the drivers going out and doing cameos that often. You don't see the drivers going out and getting in commercials. You don't see them, you know. And I think that that's kind of where a lot of it is faltering, because it's like we don't even know these people, you know? The Penske Games was one of my favorite things. I love the Team Penske Games. They don't even do them anymore. And it's like that's where you get to meet these drivers. I know that Hendrick, they're doing a pretty good job of doing kind of like little games and whatnot. I think Joe Gibbs is doing it too. Just things like that. It kind of really gets you like into the mind of the driver, into the personality of the driver, instead of just, oh, you know, I like number 9, the Napa car that goes around on the track. But do you know Chase Elliott? Like maybe you'd more like Ross Chastain, you know? So I think a lot of it comes down to the drivers. I do think the NASCAR has, you know, a lot. I think they need to focus more on social media. I mean, the Netflix documentary was amazing. I have people that come in when I'm bartending and they'll tell me, you know, oh, I don't really watch NASCAR, but I watched that documentary. Like, I had a whole conversation about Ross Chastain riding the wall at Martinsville because he's seen it on the documentary. Had no idea who Ross Chastain was beforehand, nothing. He just watched the documentary, thought it was cool. Now he wanted to get into racing. And I think that that was one of the best things NASCAR could have done. If they can keep the ball rolling in that department, I think they'll be fine.
I've said this before, even on the podcast, and this is one of my greatest NASCAR rants. It's amazing what happens when you talk and have conversations and we know who the drivers are outside of the car. Oh my goodness, they have personalities. That makes them actually likable and marketable. What an idea, right? I mean, who would have thought? Surely not someone who went to school for that. But I definitely think they obviously need to just keep this ball rolling. I would like to see another season of Full Speed. Like Sky said, and I've even said before, we need them in commercials. We need them back on TV shows. We need them on the radio. I mean, we need to just hear them and see them and market them, because ultimately, that's what I grew up knowing about NASCAR and, you know, hearing it and seeing it. But what made me as a person want to watch every week, it was seeing these younger drivers on social media and seeing, oh, heck, like they're funny. Like, and so I followed them and then I wanted to see how they did every week. And so I did.
That's quite true. I think it comes down to accessibility beyond just, you know, signing an autograph at the racetrack, getting a selfie with the fan. You want to see them in places that you wouldn't ordinarily see them and getting out of their comfort zone. And it's kind of an interesting point that y'all have brought up, because I think Chase Elliott was a guest on the Dale Jr. Download today. And there was a topic about that. When I say went today, it's Wednesday. They were talking about, you know, maybe another full season of NASCAR Full Speed. And Dale basically asked if he wanted to be on that show. And Chase said he hasn't watched it and he would probably not be interested in being a part of future seasons if that show were to happen. That's, you know, I'm not encroaching upon his choices. That's fine. But it's also like mind blowing, because he's the most popular driver in NASCAR. He's got a rabid fan base. And I'm sure they want to know more about Chase besides him being the Napa Hooters Universe car driver, wouldn't you say?
Right. Absolutely. He's the most popular driver for, I mean, a reason. Like, it's voted on. I mean, he's been around the sport his whole life. People know him. I mean, but at a certain point, that's part of your job. That's part of what makes your job be your job. I don't want to say he owes the fans something, but at a certain point we cross a line to where the fans are what give you a job. Job is in big air quotes. He gets to do one of his favorite things. I mean, how awesome is it that he gets to call racing a car a job?
Yeah, I agree. And if you're going to be the sport's most popular driver, I mean, you're the one that should be doing everything. You should be the one that's in commercials. You should be the one that's front page on all of, you know, that's what you should be. And I don't think it's very fair for him to keep getting voted that and then not do anything with it. Like, you should want to be, I could get, like, not wanting to do silly things. Like, okay, I don't want to be an NCIS. But a documentary about your job? That's the easiest one, honestly.
Right.
For real. I agree. And it's just mind-boggling. Okay, I'll give you guys a point. I'm holding a, oh, you probably can't see it. I'm holding a trading card of Caitlin Clark, okay? What do I know about her besides her playing college basketball? She does interviews with Dan Patrick. She goes on ABC's The Morning Show, Good Morning America, with Robin Roberts. Does little things, does those State Farm commercials with Jake. A lot of different things that makes her very known, very well-known, famous celebrity figure, but also shows that she has a personality. And that's what made me gravitate towards her being an athlete I pay attention to now. I've been doing this for the last couple of years, to be honest, because of the fact that I know her beyond just her basketball skills, but because she does appearances, does interviews, and you find out, oh, she's not just this girl who grew up in Iowa and loves basketball. She's pretty funny. She loves her coach. She idolizes players. And that's kind of cool because if you think about it, like when she freaked out about meeting her favorite WNBA player, that made her look, it made her more human than the player who broke the all-time NCAA Division I scoring, like, leader thing, like all-time scorer. How awesome is that to know that she's just as human? If, say, Sky got to meet someone she's admired in NASCAR, or Brooklyn did, or me, well, I'll get to do that on Sunday. I won't say who that is with it yet, folks. I'll just say we have a really big guest we'll have later on TPF Live down the road. And yes, I'll have my moment where I'll be freaking out and having a human moment. We want to see that happen. And it shouldn't take until the end of your career to realize, you know, instead of spending some time by myself, I probably could have done an appearance on, say, Jimmy Kimmel's show, or, you know, do a little skit with Colbert, or even go to New York City to go on Jimmy Fallon's show and have him do a segment with, like, him being the eel girl, which I don't think he does anymore. But if he does, or go with Lonely Island. I don't know if they do rap songs anymore, but they could do something funny about NASCAR. I want to see things like that, you know? And it's
as
a shame to hear.
As soon as Ryan Blaney won the championship and went on the Today Show, and my grandma, I mean, she'll sometimes ask me, like, oh, like, who won the race yesterday, or, like, whatever. Like, if we happen to have that conversation. But as soon as Blaney went on the Today Show, my grandma was like, oh, Ryan Blaney was on the Today Show this morning. Like, he seems like he's so cool. And I was like, yes, like, he's very funny and cool. Like, I mean, my grandmother knows Ryan Blaney because he was on the TV show, or on the Today Show.
Those are the little things that we're just looking to see the growth of sport. Like, I think what y'all said, maybe they don't have to be an NCIS. Nobody wants to see, like, Joey Logano be, like, a corpse on the beach,
right,
or something.
I mean, and I don't think anybody's asking for that. I think we're kind of asking for the
Carl Edwards on, like, NCIS or CSI or something. That's where I brought that from. He was one of them.
He was on 24 as an agent.
Okay. He was on some little murder mystery show. I remember that. I don't know. I would kill to see Chase Elliott as a little detective.
I wouldn't complain. No. I mean, but I don't think Chase Elliott would. Well, we have trouble. I'm just going to be brutally honest. We have trouble getting him on podcasts. So, I mean, I don't think he would do that. I mean, and that's totally fine. That's totally up to the person. Like, I get that. But, I mean, I'm just asking for, like, kind of the bare minimum.
Yeah. I mean, that's why, in a way, it's kind of cool to have Ryan Blaney be on, because he recently said, I want to be what Jeff Gordon was to NASCAR in the 1990s. When I heard him say that, it had me have confidence that this guy cares, not just to be a good ambassador within the sport, but with outside the sport. And that's what we want to see, is that person to take the charge, get us to the ESPN Sports Centers, get us to be on Good Morning America, get us to be back at CVS Pharmacy so that you can collect the diecast car, not just from spoiler.diecast.com, but also when you go grocery shopping and you see a NASCAR, like, reference somewhere. So, you know,
when you're a champion, it comes with being an ambassador of the sport. And that's part of what being an ambassador of the sport is.
Yep. Even if that means seeing Joey Logano and Ryan Blaney saying, I saved at the pump. You saved at the pump? Yeah, I saved at the pump. Like little things like that. That's all we're looking for. So
it's not painful.
Not painful. You're not getting a root canal either. So you don't have to go on social media and have like a look like you have a tissue stuck inside your mouth. So just, you know, we're not asking you to do a lot, NASCAR folks. Just get us out there, you know? Like the media can only do so much to project you in a good way. So just saying, if you don't like to get interviews by us, there's another opportunity out there to do your job. Hell, I'd do it if I could. But anyways, that's our fun little, like, we got to have a real talk moment on NASCAR, on TPF Live with NASCAR. So that was real, folks. But I'm sure you folks at home have different opinions on that. We want to hear from you. And you can definitely let us know as you're listening in. Now, let's get to our superlative talk. We're going to do things a little bit differently for this particular topic. Instead of asking who did better or worse at Bristol, this time I'm going to get a little corny. Who gets a gift card from Food City to shop till they drop because of a great race that they had at Bristol and why? Start off with Brooklyn and Sky, and I'm kind of curious where you guys are going to go with this.
I'm going to give my gift card to Chris Buescher because I was just so proud of him. He started 34th and drove all the way to 7th. I was like, you deserve a gift card, Chris Buescher. You just had a great race. I mean, and it was against pretty good odds. I mean, with the tire wear, that's with crazy racing. I mean, that's with several things added in.
I'm giving my gift card to Martin Truex Jr., good old MTJ, because, you know, he's not – how do I word this? He hasn't been as – I don't want to say relevant, but he's not always at the top of – who's competing week in and week out, you know? I mean, don't get me wrong, he's still an amazing driver, but it's like Bristol shows about just how good he really is, because it took a lot to be able to save tires to the point where you're able to even compete for the lead, you know? I think that alone and just his entire race in general just really showed how good he is, how smart he is. He has great etiquette, and I think that is why he deserves a good old gift card for Food City.
We'll say for those drivers that get themselves at least $500 gift card, because that's how many mile laps they did at Bristol, so that's the least that they get for their troubles. And in my case, I'm gonna stick with the top 10 finisher. I'll say Alex Bowman gets one, not just because he had a really good finish at Bristol, but by golly, he needed something good to happen to him at last, because after his runner-up at Daytona, which to this day, some people think he may have won the Daytona 500. Maybe. Anyways, I'm not going to get into that rant. I will say it's been an unusual start to the year, because Bowman's usually the most consistent starter at Hendrick. But this has been a year where he's been like second and all of a sudden bad luck at Atlanta. He's kind of not really here at Las Vegas. And in Phoenix, everybody at Hendrick just had a really bad race. So for him to finish fourth, from 29th position, that is a good shot in the arm for them. They even got to lead a few laps. They led for three laps. So that's an indication that Bowman and Blake Harris, when they have a car set up to their liking and they can figure out this whole situation with tire management, man, they look really good. And his lap times are really fast towards the end of the race. If he just ran out of time, honestly, to catch Hamlin and Truex and Keselowski. So I'll give my $500 gift card from Food City to Alex Bowman. Now, we're on the opposite side, it's time to give our award for the Goody's Headache Powder Award for Bristol. And this goes to any driver who really had a miserable time in East Tennessee. So Sky, then Brooklyn. Who needs a Goody's Headache Powder besides me at this point?
So, you know, I have avoided saying him, but I think I have to now. And I'm going to go with Joey Logano. I think not only does he need some headache powder for Bristol, I think he needs some for the entirety of 2024 so far. It has just not been easy to him. I mean, he has one top 10 finish out of, and I know it's so early, like you said, but it's very Logano, like, I mean, 32nd at Daytona, 34th at Phoenix, 22nd at Bristol. I'm finishing outside the top 20. I just, and it pains me to say it, but yeah, he's got to figure it out, because he's having a really rough time for sure. It's like the championship hangover is just keep going, you know? Now he's on year two of it.
I'm going to give mine to, and I kind of went back and forth with this, but I'm going to give mine to Nick Sanchez just because of his skirmish with Friesen after the race. Well, I mean, and even in the race, like, he had a good car, but then the Friesen incident and what would have been, could have been, should have been, and then, you know, the skirmish afterwards. And I just think, you know, he deserves a headache powder.
Well, I'm not doing this one just because he happens to be in the hot seat, but I'm going to have to give my goodies headache powder to Zane Smith. The poor kid has had a rough start to his rookie campaign, and honestly, it's not his fault. He knows how to drive a cup car because when he did his limited starts in the Cup Series with Front Row Motorsports last year, he got a few top 10 finishes. I think he even finished 10th in the Coke 600, and that's not by luck. There wasn't a lot of, I mean, it wasn't like there was a lot of attrition in last year's 600, so clearly he knows how to drive a cup car, but my goodness, when he was running towards the top 15, I want to say, in the beginning laps of the race, and then lap 34, he gets pile driven into a wreck by, I think, his own teammate, which was a shame that happened. At some point, you have to wonder, like, does he have to say mercy, mercy, or something? And not only did he get involved in an accident, his engine blew up, and he only finished the race after 192 laps, not even halfway, so... I know when you get to hear him later on in the show in the hot seat, he is understandably a little bit down, but, you know, he also is keeping his head up as much as he can. And certainly I think we'll see some more things out of that young driver. But for now, it's just been a tough time for Zane Smith, who enters COTA ranked 35th in points. And in fact, he is the lowest ranked full-time driver in the Cup Series. So that's a tough statistic to read off, and hopefully that changes, because we know he and crew chief Stephen Doran want to do better than that, and they can do better than that because Spire Motorsports has really good fast cars at their shop. So we'll look to see what happens this weekend at COTA, which happens to be a track he's won at two times in a row, and the Truck Series. Oh, isn't that a nice segue into winning time, because this is the time where the ladies and I get to pick our winning drivers for this weekend's races at Circuit of the Americas. So, of course, we'll start off with the Truck Series with the Expel 225. Zane Smith is the two-time and defending truck race winner. Unfortunately, he's not entered into the race, so we'll actually have a new winner this time on Saturday afternoon. And then the NASCAR Xfinity Series has the Focus Health 250 at COTA. AJ Allmendinger, like Zane Smith, is a two-time and defending race winner. And yes, he's entered into the race, but he has some pretty stiff competition, namely in the form of John Hunter Nemechek, Ty Gibbs, Daniel Kvyat, and oh, by the way, a certain driver named Kyle Larson. And then on the Cup Series side, on Sunday afternoon, we have the NASCAR Cup Series Echo Park Texas Grand Prix. The defending race winner is Tyler Reddick, and we know how good the Toyotas were when they last ran the new short track road course package, because we saw that at Phoenix, and it was pretty much that Toyota love fest at Phoenix. And why am I bringing that up? Because again, this weekend, we're back to that package. And another element to think about on Sunday, it's going to be extremely windy. Wind gusts up to 30 to 35 miles an hour in hill country. Let me tell you how that's like, folks. Like I said earlier, I might be flying in the sky like Harry Styles in the Sign of the Times music video. So just watch the race. You'll see me flying in the media center to like the garage area. Anyways, we'll hear from Brooklyn, then Sky, and then me. Let's get with our race-winning picks.
Going back, I am still in awe of myself because I was 0.2 seconds away from being correct on my last truck pick, I would like to point out, and that still pains me. Still recovering from that. So, Ben Rhodes is going to get the truck win in COTA. You're going to get to talk to Mr. Ben Rhodes in the media center, Rob. For the Xfinity race, none other than AJ Allmendinger is going to win. I think he's going to be able to pull it off. Like you said, he has some stiff competition, but he's going to be able to win it still. And then for the Cuppers, SVG is going to get it done.
All right. So I can agree and I can respect all of your picks there for sure. I might make people a little unhappy with my picks. So I'm sorry in advance to everybody. I originally had it that Cup guys were sweeping. Cup guys were winning all three. I did, however, change it last second. So Truck, I'm going with Rock Chastain. He's good. He's been good. I feel like he's just going to show up against all of the Truck guys. I really do. Originally, I had Kyle Larson as going to win COTA, but I think, you know, Brooklyn, you persuaded me because I don't know. I think Dinger's going to get it done. He's just too poised. He's too good at these. I mean, this is what he's good at, you know? So I don't know. I feel like he definitely can go around even the competition there.
You're the road course ringer.
Exactly. And for my Cup, I'm going with Tyler Reddick, but not because he is the previous winner. No. I'm going with Tyler Reddick because not this past Sunday, but the Sunday before, Denny Hamlin spun out of the lead. Then he won Bristol. Tyler Reddick spun out of the lead in Bristol. So I'm thinking this is his redemption and he's going to just pull Denny Hamlin. He's going to get the win at COTA again.
I like the logical thinking from Sky on that. And I love that both of y'all agree that AJ Allmendinger will win on Saturday afternoon. And if there is somebody who kind of needs a shot in the arm in the Xfinity series, it has to be the most frequent guest of the hot seat, which is AJ Allmendinger. And yes, we will have an interview with him this weekend. So you can expect a lot of ribbing at me, Rob Tiongson, at his expense. But anyways, we'll talk about that in a future episode. Let's go hear my picks for this weekend. So honestly, this is going to be an interesting truck race because honestly, without Zane Smith in the field, this is so wide open. There's not even a Kyle Busch in the field. So no. Honestly, where do we go from here? Because I mean, Ben Rhodes could do it. He's a pretty decent road course racer. Unfortunately, this is our only road course race in the truck series schedule this year, which is really mind boggling, by the way. My opinion, I like Ross Chastain pick. He did get a top five finish, and I know for a fact he knows his way around this racetrack because he got his first career cup win 2 years ago at this facility. But for the truck race, I am going to go with an upset to happen on Saturday afternoon, and I'm going to say Connor Zillish gets the job done. Why Connor? This kid knows COTA. He's driven in a TA2 car at a race I watched him do when I was working with a TA2 competitor of his last November. And Connor is the real deal. He is trying to get some experience to get to race on the super speedways later this year once he turns 18. He's only 17, but he will be racing at a world-class facility in COTA. So I look for him to do a good job for Spyro Motorsports and crew chief Brian Patty. Brian Patty knows a thing or two about getting successful at a young age because at one point, Brian Patty was the youngest crew chief. He was a teenager as a crew chief in the mid-90s with Joe Nemechek. So I look for him and that Austin Hatcher Foundation Chevrolet pickup truck to get the job done. As far as the Xfinity race is concerned, I think it's going to be a battle between AJ Allmendinger and Kyle Larson. And in this case, I think Allmendinger will have enough car to go and beat Kyle Larson on Saturday afternoon. It's going to be a close one, though. And it will come down to a restart where I think AJ just has a little bit more pep in his step to get the job done. And he'll probably challenge me to do a rap song in front of everybody in the assembled media afterwards, which in this case, stay tuned. And then for Sunday afternoon, oh boy, this is the one I'm having the most difficult time with because until they had the new package announced, I was going to say, you know what, we're going to go with a Chevrolet to win on Sunday afternoon, but I'm still going to go with the theme of a Toyota. And I think in this case, just to kind of throw a Hail Mary here, because I said Carson Hocevar and I was way off. So I hope I'm not jinxing this driver, but I'm going to say that John Hunter Nemechek will get the job done on Sunday afternoon for the number 42 Romco Equipment Company Toyota Camry XSC. That's a mouthful, but JHN knows how to get around a road course, and this is a great equalizer for the Toyotas. Plus the fact that I think John Hunter Nemechek has done a good job for Legacy Motor Club. So I think we'll see some good things out of him after what we saw at Bristol, and he'll carry that over into the road course. But what do y'all think? Are the old favorites going to get the job done? Is it going to be a cup sweep this weekend for all the three series that we'll see this weekend? Or who do you think is going to win? You should hit us up on socials, no matter the platform. Our handle is at the podium finish. And if you happen to get all three race winning picks correct, we'll get you an in-stock 2024 diecast card from spoilerdiecast.com. So we want you to get to the challenge, folks. You're not going to win Clint's money. I don't think they're doing that anymore, but you'll get a diecast car. That's pretty fun, I'd say. So we want to make it happen. So let's get it happening here on this Sunday afternoon once you get all your picks correct. Now, with that, folks, that being said, we're going to head into the hot seat here right now with Zane Smith. Zane, you're in the middle of your rookie season with Spire Motorsports. I know it's kind of been a difficult start, but what are some things you've learned from these first several races that you look to apply in the spring and summer races?
Yeah, I mean, definitely a rough start. Our Daytona 500 was good. And then going to Atlanta, we actually had really good speed and a mistake on my end. And then went to Vegas and had even better speed in practice and where we ranked on lap averages and whatnot and how our car felt. And then again, just to put myself in a bad spot, aero-wise, and had another mistake there. And then Phoenix was a struggle. And then Bristol got caught up in a wreck from getting hit from behind and then getting put into some marbles and not being able to stop. So it's been, like I said, a rough start, but I guess we're learning. And yeah, that's what makes the Cup Series great, is we get a little reset for the next week. And our focus now is towards COTA, and COTA has been good to me in the past. So hopefully we continue that streak.
Yes, indeed, because I know COTA is certainly a track that's been really good to you those last 2 years. In fact, you're the defending winner for the truck race 2 years in a row. And although you're not going to race in the truck race this weekend, you know, knowing that this is a track that suits your driving style, is this an opportunity for you and your 71 team to be like, you know what, we've got a chance to perhaps get some good points here?
Yeah, I mean, I sure hope so. Whenever road courses are, we're on a road course week, it's for me, I'm always a little bit more just excited just because the road courses are a lot of fun. So hopefully we could just have a good reset and just a good run. We know myself and my team really need it. So hope to have that, but we'll keep grinding and hopefully just getting better each and every week.
What are the keys to COTA, really, from a driver's seat? I know the truck is much different from the Cup car, but from your vantage point, what makes this track suit your driving style, and how do you attack this track?
Yeah, I think COTA is just a lot of fun. It's a little bit of everything. Like, it's a huge road course, and I feel like one of, if not the most, like, proper road course we go to. And so it's always a lot of fun going there. You start out the first half of the lap where it's high speed, pretty windy, a few big brake zones, and then on the back half it's super technical and also a couple big brake zones, and it's just crazy. And so I don't know, I've just always liked going to COTA, always loved being in Austin, Texas, and always enjoyed my time there.
Do you get a chance to explore the city because of it being in a different market than the usual places that NASCAR goes to?
I have a few times gone downtown there. It's crazy just how different pieces of Texas could be. But yeah, it's always cool to be able to go see the city and go see what else there is to offer other than a racetrack.
That's great to hear. And I'm sure you have some favorite cuisines around the area.
Yeah. I always forget the name. Name of the restaurants I go to, but I know there's definitely a good steakhouse I always visit.
You should do it up for sure before you get to the race on Sunday. And I just am curious because you're working with a really diverse group at Spire Motorsports with Corey LaJoy, a Cup veteran, and then you also have a truck graduate who you banged doors with quite a bit with Carson Hocevar. What is it like to have this unique team dynamic and kind of lean on them for input or just to kind of shoot the breeze during the race weekend?
Yeah, it's been good so far. It's been awesome having them on the Spire side, and then also two more teammates and Ross and Daniel in a way, and then I guess even more with the track house drivers with Shane. So hopefully I could lean on Shane maybe a little bit going to COTA, and I'll learn a thing or two from him.
I'm sure you'll definitely learn as much as you can from SVG during this race weekend. And you also have a pretty good crew chief in Stephen Duran, and I'm kind of curious how he's helping you navigate the competitive landscape of cup racing.
Yeah, Stephen's been awesome. He obviously has a lot of experience with Kevin and whatnot. And this is his rookie year as a crew chief. And it's been great to have a guy that's calm and grinded it out with me in just this bad stretch of luck and pretty much everything that could happen to us. But it's I definitely believe how you end your year. So hopefully we could get some bum rolling and both of us could start clicking off some better finishes.
Certainly, for sure. And I am imagining there's some outlets that you have away from racing that helps you kind of decompress from the stresses of racing. And I know when we've talked in the past, you talked about running and cycling. How have you tried to keep up with doing both of those in terms of the physical and mental aspects of competitive NASCAR racing?
Pretty much my weeks are full from just the training on Josh Wise's side of things. So back with him, it's been a couple of years since I've been a part of his program. It's really cool to see how far that's come. And I feel like it definitely just improves you, one off the track, but I feel like your performance, inside the car definitely elevates. So, it's great having that, but, yeah, it's nice to have a little something else, whether it's running, cycling, or just inside the gym to take your mind off of a bad weekend.
Absolutely. And I know once we get past this first half of the season, when we get to the Olympic break, how much are you looking forward to that downtime to decompress and maybe get away from the racing side of things and do some of those things like running and cycling or just going on vacation?
Yeah, I'm not sure what we're going to do yet during my off week, but I haven't thought that far yet. So just focus right now on hopefully having a good COTA and turning our luck around.
For sure. Now, let me ask you sort of a hypothetical question as we wrap things up here. What advice would you give your younger self about what you've gone through racing in the short tracks of the West Coast to what you've done in trucks and now in the Cup Series as a rookie driver?
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy what whatever career path I feel like you have, but the ups and downs, just keeping a level head and I think just thinking on how you built yourself to when you have a successful moment is important to remember how to get back there. And if you choose racing, race as much as you can, whenever you can, whatever it may be. And I feel like that will really show down the road in your racing career.
Certainly. My last question for you, Zane, is if you were stuck on a deserted island, what songs would you be playing so you can get by there in this unusual moment in time?
Oh man, I don't know. Some Jimmy Buffett.
That's a perfect one for sure. Well, Zane, I hope you have a really great race weekend, turn things around. And is there anything you wanted to say about your season or to your racing fans as well?
Yeah, just thanks for the support. I know it's been a rough start, but thanks to those that have stuck with me and had my back. So hopefully we turn around and keep proving you guys right.
Absolutely. Well, hope to catch up with you at the racetrack, Zane, at some point. But best of luck this weekend and for these next several races, man.
Thank you.
And that was Zane Smith, driver of the number 71 Focused Health Chevrolet Camaro ZL1, fielded by Spire Motorsports. My thanks, of course, goes to Zane for taking some time this morning to do this interview, as well as to Peyton Reynolds, his PR representative, and of course to the folks at Giant Noise, a marketing firm here in Austin, Texas, for making that happen. That was a really great opportunity that they were able to present to us. ahead of the race weekend, and we love working with folks like that. So kudos to Stephanie over at Giant Noise for making that happen. That was a lot of fun. And yes, it's also on my YouTube as well. So as you folks just say, like, click, and subscribe. I'm still getting used to the lingo. It's kind of weird to say that because I'm normally just a writer, but I'm trying to be digital, folks. Now, before we close out our show, do any of y'all have any closing thoughts about COTA, about Bristol, about anything coming up ahead in NASCAR?
I am a huge road course fan. I love any weeks we go to a road course. So I'm ready for the first road course of 2024. I'm also ready to just get Bristol behind, like completely behind us, because whoa, that was wild. Glad we have until September to take a break from Bristol. I love Bristol, but like I said, she does get a little chippy. So it's good that we have some time away from her.
You know, I just think that someone in the beginning of the year said after Atlanta, oh, Atlanta's going to be the best race. Nothing is going to top it. And then Bristol came around and everyone was like, oh my gosh, Bristol's. I think this year, it's just going to keep getting better. Every race, like I bet you at COTA, something crazy happens. I bet you, I don't even know. We probably can't even come up with what's going to happen because it's going to be that crazy.
Walking into this year, I mean, I think we all kind of said that walking into this year, because the level of competition is seriously insane in all three series this year. I mean, the fact that we have people from other series, Rob, you picked Connor for your truck pick for kind of the same reason I picked SVG for my cup pick. I mean, how crazy is it that we're even talking about him? SVG won his first cup race, and we're talking about him winning his second time in a cup car. Like, that's crazy.
It just goes to show that maybe the NASCAR was on to something with this next-gen car, and it's not a bad idea that this is a car that other drivers from other series, whether it's V8 supercars in Australia and New Zealand, can get to driving, or you know, someone like Kamui Kobayashi, who we didn't bring up, but he'll be racing in the 2311 number 50 Mobile 1 car. He's a really talented sports car driver. He's won races at IMSA. He's been a proven driver throughout his career, and he's racing in a cup car. And then even the Xfinity Series, like I mentioned, Daniel Kvyat is going to be racing. And another TA2 driver is going to be making his debut in NASCAR. Austin Green, who's the son of David Green, he'll be driving in the number 32 car on Saturday afternoon. He's a really talented driver. I've seen him do really well in the TA2 Series. Won a race last year, I want to say. I remember because I can remember the drivers who beat our driver before. And Austin was certainly one of those talented drivers. I love that there is this interest in NASCAR again, that we have road course ringers again in NASCAR. We've got people tuning in because of Full Speed, or, you know, they have a family member who is like, you know, I grew up watching this sport. I think you should give it a chance too. Like in the Werther's candy kind of tradition, but at least we're kind of cooler than that and not some grocery store item that you could pick up. Honestly, I love the momentum that we're having. And like you said, Sky, you never know. COTA could be the greatest race ever in NASCAR. And I'm all for that because I'm going to be there. I hope it's going to be great because that would be an awesome way to usher in the 76th season of NASCAR, to keep it going, keep it fresh, keep it exciting. We're definitely going to keep that vibe going into this last podcast of March next week, which will be episode 110. Yes, folks, we're 90 away from episode 200. So Richard Petty, you be watching out. We're going to get the number 200 before you know it. Mm-hmm. But anyways, I think this is a great time to go and put a bow on our show. So for Brooklyn Jackson and Sky Twig and Zane Smith, I am Rob Tiongson saying thanks so much for tuning in to KPF Live episode 109, the world's fastest hour of racing talk. For our previous 108 episodes, you can check those out on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Tune in next week for episode 110, which is the post-COTA free Richmond edition of our show. Yes, we're going to be hitting up Sky's home state of Virginia, the first of two straight Virginia races. So Dominion State loving going on in NASCAR. We'll talk about what's going to happen as short track season resumes. And until then, folks, as I always like to say, let's all go get that checkered flag. And until next time, so long, everyone.